Good morning. My name's David. I lead Grace Church across all our three sites. I'm sorry not to be with you in person this morning, but my heart is definitely with you. This is a special Sunday in the life of Grace Church. This year, we are pushing forward into God's plans and purposes for us as a church. We are figuring out what God's plan is, and actually figuring out what God's plan is part of the excitement. Is what makes it fun. Of course, there are things that we do know. We know for certain because they're part of God's unchanging character. We know that God is on a mission to bring more and more people into the knowledge and the experience of his son, Jesus. And we know that because the Bible tells us God sent his son into the world so that whoever believes in him would not die, but have eternal life. Jesus came to seek out and to save the lost. And we were all in that category, lost, until we encountered Jesus in our lives. And there are still many more people who are on that journey, who are yet to make that discovery of Jesus. So whatever God's plan is for us this year, it is mission. It is to be reaching out into our community and into our workplaces and into our circle of friends and contacts, because that is who God is. It's in his very nature to be missional. Our job is not to get God interested in our plans. We're not submitting a business proposal or trying somehow to persuade him to allocate some of the 2018 heavenly budget into our thing, into Grace Church in England. No, we need to keep up with him. Our job is to keep in step with his spirit. I'm always amazed how fast my wife, Ali, can walk. I'm not particularly tall, but I am a little bit taller than she is, to be fair. My legs are a little bit longer. But somehow, when she's walking down the road, those little legs don't half move. And I'm struggling to keep up. And I don't quite have to break into a run, but it's very close as I'm sort of jogging along the side. She's in power walk mode. The Holy Spirit goes ahead of us. I think he calls us to as much mission as our faith will allow. Our mission into 2018 has a number of different strands. If you picture it like a battle, we advance on a number of different fronts. Your own individual life is an area of God's mission. Wherever you are during the week, whatever you are doing, whoever you are in contact with, that's your mission. And it also includes what we are doing together in each of our sites as we serve our communities to help and support people, to offer friendship and a place to connect, to proclaim the gospel into Chichester and into Bognor and into Midhurst. Every Sunday we gather to worship. But it's also mission. Every meeting we have is a family event that we can invite people to engage with. I want people to encounter Jesus here. We can all join together to impact our communities in a bigger way. And that's what we're going to do this summer with our Bognor Fun Day. And there will be other events in our other sites as well, I'm sure. And then it's because of our mission that we are beginning our fourth site into Havant. And that's a big push. That's a big advance into new ground for us. And at the same time, we are pressing forward and exploring whether we can purchase a permanent building facility, a building that operates as a home for Grace Church, right in the middle of our map, and able to serve and resource people from right over this region that we cover. And if you have been in Grace Church for the last few months, you will probably have heard us talk about the ambulance station. And if that's on our radar for 2018, and I believe that it is, then it is no less about our mission. Because to step outside of mission is to step outside of the character of God and therefore the purposes of God. Now, I'm not saying that we can use the expression, well, it's all for mission, as a magic phrase that justifies any crazy course of action. But what I am saying is this. I'm saying that to build faith and a sense of excitement and passion for something as mundane as a building, then it will be because we have considered God's mission. And that we see in faith our part in God's mission plan. So I'm to read to you a passage from Matthew's gospel, and then we'll get stuck into it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this. It's a passage that's headed salt and light. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When Jesus said these words, it was part of a long message or sermon that Jesus was delivering to his followers. And because he was up on a mountain at the time, it's usually called the Sermon on the Mount. And the subject for Jesus's message was the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, the kingdom of God began. He said, it's recorded in Mark's gospel in chapter 1. Jesus said, "The time has come." He was saying something has begun. This is a marker post in world history. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. When you repent and believe the good news of Jesus, you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And it means that your life becomes a place where the kingship of Jesus is affirmed and recognized and built upon. And in the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is describing what that kingdom is like, what it looks like, how it works, what difference it makes in a person's life. When Jesus is king, this is what it looks like. And there are two main kingdom messages for you as a Christian. Message one is this: you are in this world, but you are different from this world. That's the first message. You are in it, but you are not of it. And then the second message is this: you are different from this world, but you are sent to change the world. You're different from it, but it does not change you. You change the world. And Jesus uses these two metaphors or pictures to describe what he means: salt and light. To get vision, to get purpose for what it means to live in God's kingdom, think salt and light. So that first metaphor that Jesus uses is salt. Now, there is evidence of the extraction of salt from seawater as far back as 8,000 years ago, which is pretty much as far back as our record of human history goes. Salt has always been part of human history. Salt was certainly a common commodity in Jesus's day, as it is today. It was readily available from the Mediterranean Sea, and also they extracted it from the Dead Sea. And the salt concentration in the Dead Sea is four times higher than it is in the oceans. Salt had two main functions in those days, as it does today. Firstly, it was used to preserve meat and fruit to stop it from going bad. And we know, don't we, that if you leave a piece of meat just sat there on the side minding its own business, it will quickly go from fresh to flavoursome. I always think meat tastes better if it's been out for a while, but that's not necessarily health advice. But it goes from fresh to flavoursome, and then pretty soon it goes to bad and rotten and eventually toxic. The fats in the meat oxidize and microbacteria start munching their way through it. Well, one way to slow that process down almost to a stop is to add salt. And the salt takes away the conditions that cause decay by taking out the water and killing off the bacteria. Salt is an antidote to decay. And the second use of salt was, and it still is, to flavour food. Actually, the human body needs the sodium from salt. It's sodium chloride, and it needs that sodium to stay healthy. We're simply wired, though, to think that food seasoned with salt tastes nicer. It just is that way, isn't it? In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, God instructed the people to prepare all the grain that was about to be offered as part of a burnt offering by seasoning it with salt. And in the book of Ezekiel, you see that that is extended to all the meat offerings as well. It seems that salt was just added everywhere. So these animals had been sacrificed and they were about to be burnt up on the altar. It's not like they were going to go bad and needed preserving. They weren't going to be around that long. But still, the priest would come along with his salt shaker and add a bit of salt. And in a strange, mysterious way, it's almost like God knows that food tastes better with a bit of salt. Something God ordained about that. He wanted his food to taste nice. When it comes to food, salt brings about a positive change. It makes things better. Actually, in Bible times, salt was also put into the ground as a fertilizer, which some people think is the origin of the expression that Jesus used, the salt of the earth. But certainly, salt makes things better. So that is what salt is. But what did Jesus mean when he said, "You are the salt of the earth"? Well, it's a very simple and yet a very helpful picture of how God wants your life to be on his mission. Because as an agent of his kingdom, your purpose and your priority is to be part of that mission. Firstly, it means that you are a preserving agent in the world around you. Now, I know we have freezers and we have chemical preservatives and whatever now, but in Jesus' day, salt was the only way to prevent creeping badness overtaking the good and eventually making everything putrid and toxic. Salt was the only antidote to decay. So hear this. Your life in Christ is the only antidote to spiritual decay in our society. The effect of sin on this fallen world is that everything slides into decay. The world without Jesus is not in a stable state. It is subject to decay. It says in Jeremiah 9, verse 3, that people go from evil to evil. It's an encroaching thing. We had to say goodbye to a dear family member this week. That's our purple Nissan Micra, affectionately known as the Plum. And it's not that she had a bit of rust here and there, which was the problem. The problem was that she was being overtaken by rust. It was a creeping, growing problem that was only going in one direction. That car was subject to decay. So when you think of your town or your city or your street or your workplace, don't think of it as forever unchanging in terms of sin and injustice and morality. It is subject to decay. And the only thing that halts this slide into sin in our society is the presence of God's people, because we are the salt of the earth, the only antidote to this decay. Now, there's nothing dramatic or exciting about how salt works, but it permeates and it gets in close and it's involved. And very slowly and very gently, it does its thing. In your life, you don't need to do anything almost. It's just your character. As a Christian, it's enough to stop this pernicious encroachment of sin when you maintain a sense of peace and hope through adversity. And I know across the church at the moment, there's real adversity. And my heart and my prayer are with you. But just maintaining that dignity in Christ, that peace, that hope for the future, it's salt in our society. When you demonstrate forgiveness and love, even when the culture around you is one of bitterness and revenge, or when you pursue justice for others, when most people would simply shrug their shoulders and think, oh, well, life's not fair, is it? Even just secretly praying for colleagues or customers or friends that God would bless them. Wherever God has placed you, you preserve that situation for righteousness. And that is a powerful thing indeed. When I left the engineering company that I worked for before working full-time for the church, my boss said to me, David, you've done good work here, but what we will really miss in this company is your character. You're a good person. Now, I had no idea what I had done. I still don't know, really. But you, just being you in Christ, it preserves and it sanctifies the society where you live. Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, that's a very curious thing because salt, sodium chloride, is actually incredibly stable. Salt can't lose its saltiness. The real point that Jesus was making here was that only God's people can preserve this world. If it were not for God's people, then all hope would be lost. And then secondly, Jesus describes you as salt because like salt makes food taste even better, you can bring about a positive change in the world around you. Not only halting this decline into sin by preserving the culture, but actually pointing people towards Jesus as you season the culture. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The situation that's being described there is just a normal conversation with a normal person on a normal day, the sort of conversation you would have every day of your life. But in the course of that conversation, there is a chance to bring some truth, to give a biblical perspective, to mention the name of Jesus, to show some love. And you are adding seasoning, making it better, bringing goodness, not preaching, not taking over the conversation, not being weird, but through your words and through your actions, you have the opportunity to sow in the kingdom of God, to bring positive change. In Mark's gospel, it says, have salt among yourselves. Be at peace with one another. It's a strange expression to have salt among yourselves. But it means that even your relationships are improved and made better when you bring the presence of Jesus wherever you go. So just look for opportunities to do that throughout your life. Make things better by just gently pointing people towards truth, towards Jesus. So the second metaphor or picture that Jesus used was light. You are the light of the world. Light is something that we're all so familiar with, and yet we don't really understand it, do we? A tiny baby understands the difference between light and dark, and they're intrigued by light, aren't they, and captivated by it. And yet the top scientific brains, you know, the real physicist boffins, they give their entire careers to the study of light, and they still can't figure it out. It's an intriguing thing. But we do know some things about light. We know, for example, that it is good. in most circumstances, people prefer light to dark. Now, I suppose if you've got a headache or you're trying to develop a photograph, then you might prefer the dark. But in general, our human makeup is that we feel more at peace, more comfortable, more secure in the light. Secondly, we know that light wins. There is no fight between light and darkness. When you switch on a light bulb in a room, there's no tussle that goes on between the light and the dark in the room. Is it going to get light or is it going to stay dark today? No, the light always wins every time. And then thirdly, we know that light shines. Okay, you can block it by putting it under a bowl, as Jesus said. But left to its own devices, it shines, it radiates, it shines in all directions and over vast distances, even through space. And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Whereas salt kind of works internally, it gets in there and almost secretly does its thing. Light is much more external, much more visible, and it's there for anyone and everyone who cares to look. That's what your life is like in Christ. When you put a kingdom person in a fallen world, there is a difference. It's a difference that is indiscriminate, that is visible, that is fundamentally good. It overcomes the darkness of this world. Now, Jesus said that he himself is the light of the world. In John chapter 8, you see it there. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If you and I are going to make a difference in our world, then it's not because we try hard or have a high morality. The source of our light is Jesus. We are shining out. We are showing people Jesus. And so the way for you to shine the most brightly is to look the most intently at Jesus. Model your character on his character. Treat people like he treated people. Relate to the Father as he related to the Father. Let your message be the same as his message. Do good things like he did good things. Let him be your guide and your model and your inspiration, and your light will shine. And people will see your good deeds and they will glorify your Father in heaven. So as individuals, we are called to be salt wherever God has placed us. We are called to shine the light of Jesus wherever we are. If we're not careful, though, we fall into the Western trap. It's the trap that we often fall into in our Western mindset when we're reading the Bible. And that is the trap of reading individually what the Bible actually says to a group or a body of people. And Jesus was speaking to all his followers who had gathered around him, a big crowd. And he said, "You all together are the salt of the earth. You all are the light of the world." He didn't say you're all like little grains of salt. He didn't say you are all little lights in the world. There was something much more corporate about this. To be salt and light as Jesus intended, we must hear and own that mandate together, corporately, as a body of God's people, as his church. We own it together and we do it together. Grace Church is salt and it is light. Now, we're doing that already. Of course we are. And I'll point to some of those things in a moment. But when I think about the potential of having a permanent building and the potential that would bring to the life of Grace Church, then I could summarize it with those two words: salt and light. Salt. Because I believe that for us to own our own building instantly reverses a trend in this community. We are inherently salty. Our very presence brings a halt to the slow decline of this whole area into spiritual decay. In fact, the city of Chichester could do nothing better than allocate a portion of its land to the church, where God would be worshipped, where the name of Jesus will be proclaimed, mercy and justice brought to the poor. Now, I'm not saying that Terminus Road in Chichester is about to be overtaken by casinos and drug dens. More likely, it's another car showroom or a warehouse. And life bobs along in its slow, materialistic, godless decline. How much better? What better impact on society as a whole there is from taking a building and filling it with the people of God? We have halted something. We've prevented a decline, stopped the rot. Why? Because we are the salt of the earth. The salt of Chichester, the salt of West Sussex. Our presence in this community preserves its righteousness and all the blessing of the kingdom of God. Then not only do we preserve this community through the work of Grace Church, but we also season it. We make this part of the world taste better. We bring positive change for the good of our society. Now, I think we do that massively already. In fact, part of the work that Steve and I have been doing to help our case with the council planning department is we've put together a document that lists all our benefits to the community with what we already do. And there's masses. And it's almost too much to start listing, and I'm in danger of missing something out. But I do include in that our Sunday mornings and the friendship and the family life that exists among us. I include in it all our groups, social spaces where people from all walks of life and all backgrounds can connect with one another and be blessed, loved and cared for. I include all our groups for our children and our young people and our students. And then there is everything we do under the banner of Graceworks, Little Bears, our prison teams, working with refugee families, money help, family life help, and the list just goes on and on. But everything we do currently, we either do on a Sunday morning, or we do it in people's homes, or a few things we manage to do in a rented venue like Little Bears. But it is hugely restrictive. The thing about salt as it seasons is that it works in the food to bring flavor. And I want us to be ever more in the community and able to bring kingdom values from a place that is accepted and as familiar as the job centre or the post office or the Sure Start family centre. Do you see, once we are in the community, we can make a difference. And the difference we make is that we enrich people's lives and we bring redemption and hope and freedom to people who so badly need it. Because that's what God's kingdom is like. Because that's what the gospel does. Whether that is seeing people released from debt or a shelter provided for the homeless or advice and support for struggling families and carers or whatever. We are the salt of the earth. And it's from within the community that we affect change. I want people to be walking down the road and say, there's the Nuffield Gym, there's the Cineworld Cinema, and there's Grace Church. And they carry on without batting an eyelid. We're just part of the community. And then it's the same with the light. We are all the light of the world, together as God's church, not only as individuals. What do I want to do with this light? I want to put it on a stand. Hold it up high. If you are a person in this community and you want to find Grace Church, where do you go? I feel like we're hidden. We bob up on a Sunday morning and then we vanish again. And okay, you can find us on the internet, but a person who goes to our website has only gone there because they are already looking for us. What about the masses who aren't even looking? Jesus said a city or a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. It's something you can't keep a secret. For all the good that Grace Church does right now, and there is masses, I think it would still be quite easy to keep us a secret. It's not that having a building is our only way of fulfilling what Jesus was commanding here, but boy, would it help. I want to take everything we have and everything we do and make it easily accessible, make it visible instantly. So people think, Grace Church, yeah, I know where that is. The light that we have is Jesus. He is the light of the world. The message that we have is the message of the kingdom. It's that there is salvation in Jesus for everyone who believes, everyone who calls on his name. It's Jesus that people need to find. And that message is for the whole world. And our job is to broadcast it like a broadcast TV signal from a tall antenna mast. And when people, for whatever reason, are thinking, I need to check out Christianity. I need to find a church. I need to encounter Jesus. I want them to know that Grace Church is the place to go. Not just on a Sunday, but during the week, at any time. Now, I love this church. What we have here is amazing. It's life. It's light. Nobody hides that under a bowl. They put it on display. A building with four walls and a roof and a postal address is one way. Surely in our society, it's a primary way that our society gives us for doing just that, putting the light of Jesus on display. Now, we stand together in this as Grace Church, and we're walking forward together in faith, to see, in the light of everything I've just said, to see if the ambulance station in Terminus Road in Chichester is the place that God has for us. I'm as certain as I can be that God put this whole conversation about a building on our agenda for this year. God has done that. On the one hand, I feel scared and overwhelmed by the magnitude of what he is calling us to. But on the other hand, I am sure that God is with us. And I mean right with us. And delighted that we are putting our hand in his. That we are trusting him to lead us. Now, we need two big miracles if the ambulance station is going to be ours. For one thing, the building is currently for sale. It's on the market. But the indications are that it is being sold to another company. Now, that whole situation is in God's hands. For us to be able to make an offer, we need no other interest to come from any other company for 3 whole months that it would take us to secure planning permission for change of use. So this building's on the market. We need nobody else to see it. Now, that would take a miracle. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, we need a miracle of financial provision. So today, I'm asking us all to make a pledge commitment for what you would be able to give if we go ahead and make a firm offer on the ambulance station. And more than just having the required cash in the bank, although clearly that is important, what I'm really looking for over this week is for God to speak through his people. So either we can say, we're not going to buy the ambulance station at this stage. Our journey is going to go in a different direction. Or we will say, yes, we're moving forward with this. And we're united as God's people. God is working a miracle amongst us. In reality, we need to see a pledged amount totaling several hundred thousand pounds to make that message clear. Ultimately, to do everything we would like to do to get this building ready for use, we would need around £800,000. Now, we could proceed with the purchase, phase one, if you like, with much less than that, perhaps £400,000. But that's still an awesome amount of money. Some of you will be thinking, David, I gave everything I've got in the special offering that we took before Christmas. And if that's you, that's absolutely fine. We took that special offering for our mission into 2018 so that we could launch into Havant, so that we could keep going with Grace Church and our mission. And it was an amazing offering, and you're so amazingly generous and faithful. If you've given everything into that and you say, well, that's it, I've got nothing left, it's fine. God doesn't ask you to give what you don't have, and he doesn't forget the sacrifice you've made. Be released, be blessed. Enjoy the journey. But for some of us, we gave before Christmas, and there is still a God-ordained opportunity for us to go in a different way, with a different magnitude of giving. I know that's true for me personally. Now, God works in response to our faith. What are you in faith for? What can you invest in eternity? Invest in God's kingdom. And for some of us, that will be a few tens or hundreds of pounds you maybe have access to. For some of us, it will be thousands, or maybe for some, it will be tens of thousands of pounds. God is taking us on an extraordinary journey. And I'm not quite sure of the destination, but I do know this, that my desire is that we would be the very brightest light, that we would be the very saltiest salt for Jesus, for his glory in this part of West Sussex and now into Hampshire, where God has called us to build Grace Church. God's mission is limited only by our faith. Let's take a big faith step together. God bless you.
Brilliant. So what I'd like us to do next is we're going to respond to that. We're going to do the pledge in a minute, but I thought it'd be good first actually just to respond to the first part of the day we talked about, being salt and light in the situations that we find ourselves in. Yeah, if you guys could come back up. Why don't you stand? Let's shake your legs a bit. Let's get the blood flowing. And find when you look at a screen, everything goes a bit sleepier, doesn't it? So let's do that. But let's be in faith for what we've heard there. I think the first thing, so like I said, to respond to is David talks about us being salt and light. We talked about battles, didn't we, this morning, and the challenges that we face in our day-to-day lives, and actually that God is involved in all those things. And one of the ways we can be salt and light is actually in how we handle those things. How do we handle those challenges? Do we bring salt and light into those situations? So we're just going to respond first with a song. Why not just maybe hold out your hands before God. Let's just take a moment. I'm going to pray. And just let faith come. Just think about all the challenges that you face and perhaps how you're confronting those things. How are you acting? How are you bringing God into those things? Are you trusting him with the stuff? Or are you saying, why me, God? Why is this happening to me? I feel today God wants faith to come. Say, God, I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to be an agent of change in the life that you've given me. And, you know, to do that, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do that on our own. Of course we can't. And we just react like everyone else. But actually, when the Holy Spirit comes, when we spend time with Jesus, when we remember what he's given us, we've got an eternity with him, safe and secure in glory. Actually, that's what sustains us. That's what enables us to be salt and light. And so I'm just going to pray for the Spirit to come. Just if you want to open your hands to God and just invite him in. Invite him into those difficult challenges, those situations. Let faith rise in your heart that God has got something better for you. He may not take away the situation, but he might give you a wonderful way to be a witness for him in it. So Lord, I pray, will you send your Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, now meet with us. Lord, give us faith where we need it, Lord. Help us through these challenges. Help us be salt. Help us be light. Help us represent you, Lord, in the lives that you've given us. Lord, help us to accept the lives that we've got and then work out how we're going to honor you through those situations. Let's worship.